Christ has gathered us into one. Dr. Caroline Ferry, speaking at Mount Angel Abbey, Oblate Study Days 2019. Session 6, The Whole Christ, Christus Totus, Christ and His Church.
Welcome back, everyone. We'll start with the image this time. So we finished last time, and we'll start this time. This is one of the domes in the Basilica of St. Mark's in Venice, a most extraordinary basilica that's covered in mosaics and covered in this gold tesserae that, as I mentioned before, that's always not set straight but always angled to give the maximum refraction of light from the candles. It's a very simple, very harmonious, very united image, but it's a very simple one to explain. It's the ascension. Can you see Christ has ascended into the heavens, hence the stars at the background, with the four angels around. And then here we have the apostles, Our Lady, flanked with two angels, and you have the apostles there all looking up into heaven in order to keep their focus, as it were, on him. It's very interesting, the ascension, I always think. In a lot of imagery and theology today, they mock the medievals who have these feet disappearing. They often have feet, a cloud, and 2 feet, and the apostles all looking at these 2 feet. Many of our old medieval cathedrals have the image of the ascension is the apostles below with Our Lady looking at 2 feet hanging out of a cloud. Honestly, how ridiculous to think of the ascension in that way. But the scriptures actually say, as they were looking on, he was taken up into a cloud. I mean, it's totally scriptural. It is literal, it is scriptural. So there's no harm in seeing it. Christus Totus, I like to consider that in this way, because we have Christ, we have the communion of saints, as I said before, and we have all the entire leadership of the apostles. We have all the evangelizers, if you like, all around the edge, and we have Our Lady to symbolize the church. And of course, wherever we have trees, immediately you've got this whole range of imagery of the tree of the cross, the tree of life, the tree of victory, which we'll come to a bit more. So, Christus Totus, the session now, I'm just going to go through three different images. Well, three different parts. First one, we're going to do body of Christ, Christus Totus as the body of Christ. I'm going to read this extraordinary passage very slowly from one of the great saints, Saint John Ude, who was, I think, Canada. Was he one of the great missionaries for Canada, or was it even North America? But we'll look at that, and then we'll look at the image of the shepherd, and then I want to carry that forward into the four dimensions of the Christian life and have a look at Christus Totus in that sense. So the first way of looking, this gathering, the gathering that Christ has done, I'm on page 11. Very clear in the scriptures, this image of Christus Totus as a body with a head and members. So there from St. Paul, he writes about it a lot. I've just taken one very short quotation. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. We know this, we've heard it often, but in a minute we're going to just reflect on the extent of what that can mean. Again from Galatians, all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. We are one with him. And Ephesians, St. Paul does it again. No one ever hated his own flesh, nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Now, what are the implications of what Paul is saying? And for that, I want to go to the Catechism, and we're going to read really slowly, and it's here. so that we can just take our time. It is an extraordinary quotation. Well, firstly, CCC 795, the paragraph 795 in the Catechism, you get the actual phrase Christus Totus, which St. Augustine used. So it's an ancient phrase of the church, and it's worth holding on to. Christ and his church are one. We are gathered into him. So the whole Christ is one when Christ and his church are together. I make all my catechists go through a whole series of exercises when I write sentences and I put Christ in it, and they have to work out how to put the church in there as well. And then I do a whole set of sentences with the church in it, and they have to make sure that they know how to add Christ to it, so they never separate Christ and his church, the head and the body. So they have to be trained up to keep the two together. And I say to them, what if you had a head on a platter separated from the body? Yeah? Not very nice. What about a headless body, right, with the head? Not very nice. We need to keep the head and the body together, the whole Christ. Okay. Let's take this quotation from the Catechism, paragraph 1698, very slowly. I ask you, I invite you, this is always the way the Catechism phrases things, and the whole of the Christian message is this invitation. I ask you to consider that our Lord Jesus Christ is your true head. Right? That's what we're going to look at. Jesus Christ is your true head. You are one of his members. So, he belongs to you as the head belongs to its members. He belongs to you as the head belongs to its members. All that is his is yours. Is this true? Everything in my head also belongs, in a sense, to my body. Yeah? Certainly the soul is in the whole, isn't it? So, yeah? And we know that everything comes through the neck, doesn't it? Even physically. All that is his is yours. All that is his. I mean, what is his? Everything that is his. The whole of his divinity. All his love for his Father. Right? All the Father's love for him. Everything from the Holy Spirit. It's all ours. So his spirit, his heart belongs to you and to me. His heart belongs to us. Do we use it? Do we believe it? Do we claim it? His heart belongs to you. His body and soul and all his faculties. What are the faculties? All those powers and capacities. His mind, his will. All his human passions and emotions, and they're all good, they're all beautiful, they're all properly orientated. He is passionate about all the things that we would want to be passionate about. They're all for us. We can have them all. They all belong to us. Can you see what's going on here? Let's keep going. You must make use of all of these as of your own. Now, when a saint uses the word must, do you remember what I said earlier? When the saint uses the word must, I will follow the saint. This word must is that urging, isn't it? Yeah. You must benefit. You can benefit, so please benefit. You must make use of all of these as of your own. You must make use of them to serve. Remember the little fellow in blue. Right down on the floor in the dust. To praise, to love, and to glorify God as Christ glorifies God. Yeah? And it's given to us because we are members of the one body. So we can. Okay, keep going. You belong to him. So we've had he belongs to you. Now we've got you belong to him as members belong to their head. So we've had that he belongs to you because he's the head and you're the members, and now it's the other way around. You belong to him as members belong to their head. We are one. And so he, as the head, longs for you to use all that is in you because you're able to access everything that is in him. Because the head belongs to you and all his faculties, his heart, his spirit, his body. So you can use all that is in you as if it were his own. Yeah? Everything in you belongs to him. You can use everything in you that you have received from him as if it was his for the service and glory of the Father. Have you ever read anything like that before? So he just says, I ask you to consider. So I would suggest take this again. And then you can, I mean, say, dare to claim it, as it were. Dare to believe it, and dare to use all of these faculties of Christ as your own. We can. We can. He has been given to us. This, can you see how this is the gathering? This is part of the gathering, Christus Totus. We are gathered into his body as a living member that belongs to the head, and he wants everything in him as head to belong to the members. Okay, so that's one image. I can't do better than St. John Ood, so I don't want to comment further, but it's an image important to give to you from the catechisms from St. John. All right, the next image is Christ the Good Shepherd, much more familiar and linked beautifully to the word congregavit, which is about the shepherd that gathers the flock. Gregis is the sheep in plural. Ovium is the singular. It's completely different. Gregis is the flock. It is the sheep plural. And God is this, another image of this gathering into the whole Christ. And for this, I would like us to look at what is here on the front of every single catechism, or should be. It's this tiny little image, which is actually a very important image. Well, not that. You will.
It's the one. It's on page. It's page 11.
It's on page 11. Yeah. But this is where I got it from. From the front of every catechism has got to have this on it. Hopefully, I think your all your catechisms do. Okay, so I'd like you to have a look at this. I'm just going to tell you what it is, and then I'd like you to have a look at it. So, the design of the logo on the cover, there in front of you, is taken from a Christian tombstone in the catacombs of Domitilla in Rome. I'm reading the explanation of it. Which dates from the end of the 3rd century, so we're in the 200s, time of terrible persecution of the church. This pastoral image is of pagan origin. It's on a Christian tombstone, but the Christian has chosen it from pagan origin, so is aware that this has existed already, right, in pagan times. So, there's what the Christian has found, who's chosen this for their tombstone. They've found that there are truths, right, in paganism that the early church fathers call them seeds of the word. They're there. Truth wherever, St. Thomas Aquinas says, truth wherever it is found. It is truth, and therefore, in a sense, belongs to the body. belongs to Christ, who is the truth. Yeah, it doesn't have to be that only everything the Catholic Church says is true and nothing else is. Yeah, truth is truth. So wherever it's found, it can be brought into Christianity and raised. Right? It's all raised in Christ to a new significance. So that's what's going on here. Everything pagan, and that's beautiful because everyone is made in the image of God. Every single person is made in the image of God, whether they're baptized or not, whether they're atheists, Muslims, Baha'i, and all the multiple religions of the world. They're all made in the image of God. So there's already truth there, yeah? And everything can be raised and purified in Christ. So everyone has a mind and a will to seek out what is true and what is good. So it's used by Christians to symbolize the rest and the happiness that the soul of the departed finds in eternal life. Now, I'd like you look closely at this and tell me everything that you see there. Obviously, I've talked about the Good Shepherd. Yeah? So what else is here? A tree, with leaves and fruit. That possibly could immediately remind you of the Book of Revelation, where the trees that are planted by the River of Life bear fruit every month for.
And their leaves are for the healing of the nations.
Thank you. Say it again.
The leaves are for the healing of the nations.
The healing of the nations. Yeah, medicinal ways. It's for the healing of the nations. The waters of life. The waters of baptism. The waters of baptism and the waters of Christ. There's no water here, so. Okay. So what else is here? The staff. What does the staff suggest to you? Authority. What's the authority of a shepherd over his sheep? What does he do with the crook? Yeah. What's the hook? What's the hook for? He gathers them in. Yeah. What's the hook for? It's getting around the neck of the sheep that is in the ditch. Yeah, in the thorns, in the ditch. So it's explicitly that hook, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's for bringing people out of trouble. Yeah. Right. This is the scattered people. Where are we? In the scattered. We're by sin. Well, we're in the ditch, we're in the thorn bush. Yeah. So this is very important that the authority of the church, what's it for? Yeah, it's for that. It's for gathering us. It's for hooking us when we're really on the wrong track and bringing us back. How many of us actually love the authority of the church? Right? I think, I wish I have to help everybody to, in England, not amongst Catholics, but you can do the same. To love the authority of the church because it's to hook us back, it's to gather us in, it's to bring us back out of trouble. And there's a way of speaking, there's a way of speaking about the rules, if you like, of the church, which is 100% positive. Possibly in your parishes you have a similar situation to us in England where there's great trouble from the those who are divorced and remarried who want to receive communion, right? And they are adamant that the church should be giving them communion. They should be allowed to receive communion. They should be able to stay in the situation that they're in and receive communion. I don't know whether that's common here. So I have to do a lot of work with, especially with the with catechists, and I work with priests as well. How to help people to so love the authority of the church that they can say, the grace that you will be given through faith in the church, hope in the church, love for God in the church, the grace that you will be given through your obedience to the church, to the authority, is such an extraordinary grace that to go against that is actually, you're blocking yourself off. You're going your own way. Yeah? So there's a way, and poor priests, so often priests have to say to people, I'm sorry, but I cannot give you that. I, and it's all negative. And everyone gets affronted, and the priest told me I couldn't do this, and I couldn't do that, and I wasn't to do this, and I wasn't to come forward, right? So we can all help people know two things. One, that the liturgy is for them. That's the first thing. Partial communion, which is what they're all in, partial communion is a wonderful step. So I'm having to do a lot. I don't know how common this is for you, but I do a lot of work now with parishioners and priests to help them welcome everybody to the liturgy. Everybody to the liturgy, to adoration, to the rosary. And so all those people now, and there's many who want to come into the church, so they come through RCIA, and at a certain point the RCIA catechist or the priest has to say, do you know, I'm really sorry, but you can't actually come into full communion. And that I have to help every priest to say, but if you're baptized already, there is partial communion. You come to the liturgy. You don't need to go anywhere else. The Lord is here. His sacrifice is here. In flesh and blood, he is here. It's for you to be here. He has gathered you here. And by your obedience, the Lord will, in his own time, gather you into full communion. But that's the point where don't go away, and the priest must never send them away. Tell priests, don't send anybody away if they can't be received into full communion. Don't send them away. Don't say, you know, I'm sorry, this isn't the place for you. Can you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's this point of this hook and the gathering. I've got there's a lot of work to do now to help people in partial communion, to love partial communion, I mean love the communion that they have, and to, in obedience to the church, not go forward for the Eucharist, and help them see how that obedience is the source of grace. That's the source of the gathering. It's part of the gathering, and it's honest. That's the point. God wants everyone to be honest, because we saw this earlier, the physician probes the wound, yeah, before the healing. So it's the honesty. We can be honest. We can help people be honest before God, because he only wants them to see the difficulties they're in order to give them the grace to bring them through to healing. There is no other work of God, is there, other than this gathering. And the gathering is healing, isn't it? The gathering has to be a healing. It has to be a making whole. We'll see tomorrow. Yeah. So is that making sense? This crook of or the shepherd's crook of authority. And I'd love to say this to all of you, and I have a feeling none of you need it, but I know at home it's needed. Whenever the church, in the liturgy, let's say, right, says, bow at this point, and I see one here, one over there bowing at this point, right, in the creed, why isn't everybody longing to be gathered, right? It's the love of Christ is asking us to be gathered, to do what the Lord through his church is asking us to do. Yeah? Kneel at this point, stand at this point. To love to do together as the one body throughout the whole world. And this is the witness that we get from these monks. Well, they stand together. They want to bow right down together. A great hotly potly motley big tools. One-eyed pirate. I bet you notice this as well. The more people are obedient, the more the individual personality comes out. It's extraordinary. You think the more people are doing things together in Christ, being gathered by the love of Christ, actually, the more the uniqueness of each personality somehow manages to flourish in its fullness. And so often we think, no, I'm not just going to disappear into the way everybody does it. We don't disappear, because it's the love of Christ doing this. So the love of Christ loves you so much that he wants you to flourish in your uniqueness always. But where did all of that come from? The authority. Yeah, following what the church asks of us, because it's the shepherd with his crook, so that we can be gathered into one, so that we manifest to the whole world. This is Sunday Mass, isn't it? This is this Mexican wave. where church, little parish, little town after little town, from the east to the west, everyone is standing as the one body, speaking as the one body, speaking out loud together, kneeling to the whole movement of the body is one across the whole world. I mean, Sunday is the most extraordinary moment of grace for the world. Yeah, get everybody in, yeah? to Sunday, to the Lord's Day, for the Lord's Prayer, or the Lord's Supper. Yeah? Even if they can't receive communion, right? I'm not saying bring everybody into communion. We follow the church. So often we just think, well, you know, nobody really bows, I won't bow. Nobody really kneels at this point, I'm not bowing, bother to kneel. If you can't, you can't. I mean, the Lord loves everyone. If you can't, you can't. But if you can, why do we not want to be gathered? What was the phrase from Jesus? If only, I long to gather you as a hen gathers the chicks, and you would not. Just didn't feel like it today. the authority of the church, the crook. Okay, what else is there?
There's something in a cup.
Say that again?
He's holding a glass or a cup or something.
He is holding something? Yeah, it's actually like pan pipes. It's actually a little row of pipes. So he's playing a melody. He's playing a melody. It's music, yeah. And the church speaks about the truth. This is the gathering into one. We are attracted. Where beauty? Beauty through music. We are attracted. To the harmony of all the individual sounds. The harmony, the church talks about a symphony of truth. That was John Paul II's phrase. A symphony of truth. All the sounds are unique and individual. So if you're going to get real communion, you don't have to all be the same. It's a harmony of unique individual sheep, people in the flock. Yeah. So There's a maintaining and of the uniqueness of every personality as that person wants to be gathered in into the symphony, if you like, to listen to the symphony of truth. So yeah, thank you.
Although Laverne says it's a cell phone going off during mass.
No.
Thank you. Yeah. Look at the sheep is just sitting at the feet there in absolute, with a very funny face. It's not a goat. I mean, it looks more like a goat to me, but it's a sheep. It's a sheep. It's the congregavit. The congregavit has happened. Can you see? The love of Christ has gathered. There's an author that talks about if there's one sheep in these images, it's the whole of human nature. All of human nature, it's humanity that has been allowed to sit down and rest, gazing, listening to the beautiful symphony of truth and loving it. This is the love of Christ gives us love through the authority of the church, so we can love that in order to sit down and love to look at the face of Christ, which we can't do if we are still scattered in our sin. What does it mean? It's turned away. It's the opposite of being turned away. This is the ongoing conversion. Let me just read out to you why that has been chosen for the front of the catechism. This image suggests certain characteristic aspects of this catechism. Christ, the Good Shepherd, who leads and protects his faithful, that's the sheep, by his authority, as you've said at the start. So that's, as you said, is both the leading and the protecting, and bringing people back out of trouble. Draws them by the melodious symphony of the truth. You see the beauty there. It's what John Paul, Pope Paul VI said. We are attracted by beauty. I think you have been attracted by beauty. And this is Rose saying just now. And we relax into beauty. It comes from Sir Thomas Aquinas. We are arrested by beauty, attracted, stopped in our tracks, arrested and rested. Beauty rests us. Yeah? It rests us. It relaxes us. When it's beauty of this kind, which is a melodious symphony of truth, goodness, and a harmony, unity. The pan pipes. And makes them lie down. Let me see. Christ, the good shepherd, who leads, protects, draws, and makes them. So this is Christ, the love of Christ, makes them lie down in the shade of the tree of life, which is his redeeming cross, which opens paradise. It's his redeeming cross, which is the tree of life, which opens paradise. Now, I just want to go into a little bit what that means in terms of this book, the Catechism, because if we're going to live Christus Totus, whole Christ, this is a way, as we've seen, that we can do that. I want to just take a little time of talking about Christus Totus in another way through the work of the Catechism, because that's what that image is saying. That image characterizes everything this book is doing for us. Right? So this is a book that is to help us as Christus Totus. Help us do what St. John Oud there said, to claim everything that Christ has as our own and use his faculties. When I introduce the Catechism to catechists who need to use it, that is a lovely way in. So as soon as they, before they even have to open the book, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But for everyone to look at a little image, say, oh, okay, if that's what the Catechism's about, maybe it's not quite as daunting as I thought. I can right? It's a little image. That is what the Catechism's about. That's the window that takes us in. Yeah. I've been in these sessions introducing the Catechism to catechists, and I bring copies because most people don't have them. And I say, right, so we look at the image and I say, right, let's open up and see what's inside. That's what I get. Oh no, it's too big. That's not. I can't tackle that. I'm not going to do it. So I know now there is so much incredible stuff in here that I know that there's all sorts of resistance that's going to go on, right? It's too big, it's too complicated, it's too. I know. Have you ever read it? No, I haven't ever read it, but I know. I know it's too much. So I've had to go around and say, okay, that's fine, that's fine. Okay, let's just have a look at this then. And I have been round, and I've trained, and there's a team I work with, the catechetical team I work with, which Rose has been part of in the centre from a distance. And I train them all saying, don't be phased, you just go around and you say, well, let's open this for you. And I've actually had to open the catechism for them, in order to help them get into this incredible book. Right? So, I want to spend a little bit of time on this with you, because it's part of Christus Totus. The Catechism is divided up into four parts, some of you will be aware, that follow the very day of Pentecost. This is how extraordinary the church's memory is. This is for the 21st century. Well, it was the definitive version was 97, so we only have 3 years left of the previous century. So it's for us, but it's based on Acts chapter 2, verse 42, which follows verse 40 and 41, as we know, which is about Pentecost. So it is the day of Pentecost, and you know the story. So I don't need to go into it, but I want to take this. So we know that the wind and the flames came down. The apostles, they went out, did they not? And they talked in many languages. And then we have when the people heard what was being said, they were cut to the heart. Said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "What shall we do?" What shall we do? Amazing question. What shall we do? And the first thing that they're to do? Repent. Repent. And be baptized. Yeah? Repent and be baptized. So, you see how? Tyndale didn't want that word in there. repent and be baptized. Right? So, that's what they did. And we know those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. That is verse 41. Yeah? So we have Pentecost, we have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and we have what the church calls the birth of the church. Yeah? Suddenly the church is no longer between 12 and a few disciples, it's suddenly 3,000. Yeah? So the apostles have got work on their hands. They've suddenly got 3,000 people. This is the day of Pentecost. This is the very day that whoever wrote Acts, which we think is St. Luke, has written up. Yeah? Now, the point of Acts chapter 2, verse 42, is what did they do? What did the apostles do with those 3,000? How did they then live, Christus Totus? How did they just be baptized? How did they live the Christian life? How were they helped to live the Christian life? And Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says this. They devoted themselves. Now that's a beautiful word. Devotion. Because this is Christotosis, this is the love of Christ. They devoted themselves to, and there are four things, and if you don't know them, it's worth knowing them now. There are four dimensions to that which is whole, to the whole Christian life. Christus Totus is this whole. Totus, total, complete. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And we have the successors of the apostles, do we not, in our bishops and the teachers who are to guard the faith and to lead us. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship. Now we'll look at this afternoon. What does fellowship mean? Christus Totus, it means being gathered. It means living in harmony. The whole of the moral teaching of the church comes out from, so Paul's letters particularly, and the words of Christ, it comes out from Christ to enable us to live in fellowship. What is it to live in community? Some people know, right? Fellowship is something that we need grace and the love of Christ for all the time, to live in fellowship. So that becomes, if you like, all the teaching of the moral teaching of the church is to help us live in fellowship. Okay, to the breaking of bread. Yeah. So they've been baptized, they've repented, and now we've got the breaking of bread. So you can see what they're devoting themselves to, if you like, is a liturgical sacramental life. Yeah? That makes sense. So they're already, but the Eucharist as the high point. Alright, so as a Christian, these are the four dimensions of your life. And finally, to the prayers. Now, what's absolutely lovely for you and for us, you as oblates of a Benedictine monastery, what were those prayers that they went to then? Well, we have the Our Father, of course, but as well as the Our Father, the prayers were the prayers. They went down to the synagogue and they prayed the Psalms. So we have the very prayers of the Divine Office, Psalms of the Divine Office, link us right back to the very, very beginning of the church. So, can you see Acts 2 verse 42? If you want Christus Totus, faith prayed in prayer. Faith lived through the moral teaching. our faith, our belief in God, celebrated in the liturgy, in the sacrament of life. And now, the catechism says the first part is faith professed. Now, I just want to mention that for a minute, because faith professed, part one is called the profession of faith, part two is called the celebration of faith, part three is called life in Christ, like living the faith, and part four is praying the faith. Yeah. Now, professing the faith, well, you have to be devoted to the teaching of the apostles in order to know it in such a way that not only that you believe it, but you understand it enough to be able to say it out loud. That's the first, isn't it? Profess it. And then to profess it in such a way. You could be a witness, like with the sign of the cross in a public place. You can be a witness to professing. Yeah? Does that make sense? So what happened was, from that very, literally the early church, and subsequent writers, as I said, from some of you may have read these early church writers, the most extraordinarily lovely writings to read of the first 500 years. These early writings, they all for RCIA, how do people come into the church? All the RCIA, all the catechesis for those coming into the church had to train people up into how to live the four dimensions of their Christian life. Right? And that's what this is doing. That's what this is doing. It's training us up to know, in order to love and to live in obedience to Christ and his church, the fullness of the four dimensions of the Christian life. This is great for young people, because I say, okay, you've got four wheels on your wagon that God has given you to get to heaven, right? You might not be interested in the liturgical one or the, but if God has given you four wheels, right, I recommend that you use all four, because that's the quickest way, right, to get to heaven, to use the four that God has given you, yeah? And it's easy for us quite often to say, oh, well, they're very good people, but they don't believe in God, and they don't go to Mass, and they don't pray, and okay, but they may have got one of the wheels, and that's a very great thing now, yeah? Which is, they're good people. But it's not much, right? It's much, much tougher to get to heaven on with only one dimension rather than Christus totus, all four. So I would recommend to you, look at the four dimensions in your life. Are you devoted? Yeah. Are you devoted to those four dimensions, to each of those four? This is Christus totus. And I say to parish priests, but you have to be quite careful and gentle how you say this, is your parish nourishing all four dimensions of your flock? You gather them. Is there something for all four dimensions, right? So that from the church it goes out as Christus totus into the world, as it were. You're a witness. Is there adult catechesis? Is there adult catechesis so that people continue to devote themselves to the teaching of the church, of the apostles of Christ? Yeah. Is there liturgy? Hopefully. Yeah. Is there prayer? And is there plenty of opportunities for prayer? Are there rosary groups? Are there Eucharist adoration groups, etc.?
With the authority of the church, there's quite a bit of dissension with our people, and there are some people that are fading away from the church because of our new pope. And could you address that issue?
One can read about the pope in here in terms of his office. Yeah, what is a pope? And once one realizes what a pope is, never mind the holiness of his own individual character, right? There's always the honor given to the office in all that he is as head of the church. That's the first thing I would say. The second thing. This wasn't it, but this is it'll come back to me. When this came out, it was, it's been spoken of as like Noah's Ark. There's a gathering here of of the truths of the faith for over the 2,000 years that have remained steadfast, as it were, that so that one can live fully the Christian life, even when, and I'm not saying there is, but even when there is absolute chaos in the church or all around us. In the fourth century, when Arianism was absolutely rife, right? The heresy that Christ wasn't actually God equal to the Father, he was just a very special creature, which I hope isn't, actually it has been the truth in the States as well from the resources that I have evaluated, but it's changing over here. Almost, I would say 80%, if not 90% of our resources for religious education in schools in England is Arian. Is Arian, therefore it's not Catholic. Therefore it's not the full truth of who Jesus is. Now, some of those resources are very much adapted from catechetical figures from the US, but I think over here there's movements to make sure that that doesn't happen. In 97, the bishops of the US Bishops Conference set up a committee to examine all catechetical materials for children, and that was did a marvelous job. But Arianism, that Jesus isn't really God, he's just a special creature, and any other of these heresies that you that one comes across, they're all alive today. That's why this is this arc that holds onto the fullness of the faith. But there's an extraordinary book, not written by a Catholic, by an Anglican bishop, in fact, or Episcopalian bishop, do you say? And what's the difference about this? Yeah. I can't remember his name now, but the book is called this, The Cruelty of Heresy. And he goes through the creed and shows how the creed is so important to save people from heresy. And he, as far as he can go, he has these wonderful insights that actually heresy isn't good for us. Because we start believing things which are not true, and we grow up, our minds are made for truth, so we need to, that's what they're for, to bring us to God. So he taught, for example, if you believe that God is a God who punishes, even your anthropology, your very person, you're growing up in a distorted way because you're constantly trying to keep away from the God who punishes. Yeah? Rather than, it's sin that brings its own punishment to us, isn't it? I mean, it's the scattering brings us the punishment of the scattering. All right, so, what did I start on about? Yes, staying, knowing what the truths of the faith are for 2,000 years is a way, I would say, of just staying Christotus, staying right there in the fullness of your Christian faith. Making sure that all four, one really does pray, really try and live, really be there in the sacraments and in the liturgy, and really get to know the love of Christ in what he has said.
In a mass I attended recently, the priest, as part of his homily, said, J.K. Chesterton said that the next heresy was not going to be doctrinal, but moral.
I can't hear you.
The next heresy is not going to be doctrinal, but moral. Mm-hmm. There's many things we can say about this. The point, I think, thank you. This is partly why Pope Benedict, anyway, following what Pope Paul VI said about beauty, Pope Benedict talks about the way of beauty as the way for the 21st century. Because truth, with relativism, those who know about the different philosophical trends at the moment, is just being completely broken down. Moral fabric of our society is being completely broken down. So Pope Benedict was saying, truth is being broken. Moral, but it's all being broken, and because it's so relativistic. What have we got left? The fragmentation is so great. Beauty is what is needed as the way for the 21st century. So I think there's something very valuable in that, because beauty has the harmony, the clarity, the proportionality. It's opposite to the fragmentation and the distortion and the, which is why, by the way, and I know this is another aside, but you're all listening, so I'm very tempted to. When I see that there's one candle on the altar there and another one down there, and some flowers over there, and there's something else over there, whereas you'll see here, right? Everything is harmonious. You think, oh no, everything is harmonious. Everything, yeah? And if we don't like it, which a lot of young people don't, because it's boring, they say. So I say, actually, fragmentation and disharmony, you might find it exciting, but it's fragmenting you. Fragmentation fragments you. So you might be struggling, I mean, young people particularly, need a lot of help to come back into an understanding of proportion, harmony, synchronizer, right, and or things, things that are harmonious. We need to help them back, because it's the only way back into beauty, into unity, into Christus Totus. It's the way back is through, not through fragmentation. Does that make sense? That's the scattering of sin. There's many ways of helping people back, or at least entering into what the love of Christ is doing in gathering people back. What finally I wanted to say about this, so in these four parts,
I'm having trouble designating the four parts. The first was listening to the teaching of the apostles, and then fellowship,
which is part.
And then I made it on teaching from Christ. But
okay. Let me say them again here. So part.
The order in Acts is different than the order in the Catechism.
Maybe that's so why it's
a little confusing.
Yeah. But the way it's taken up now is teaching of the apostles. That's the profession of faith. Celebrating the faith. That's the liturgy in the sacrament and the sacraments,
which is corresponds to the breaking of bread in Acts.
Yep. Then the life of Christ. That's living in fellowship. So we need to know and profess the faith, celebrate the faith in the liturgy, live it. In fellowship and pray it. So the last one is prayer. Yeah. And literally, for those of us who study catechetics through the 2,000 years of the church, those four have come through in different ways. Yeah, in different ways. Sometimes through the Beatitudes, sometimes through the Creed. But you'll always have those four as the four dimensions. Two things I wanted to say. One, this extraordinary book, and I just want to read this passage to you from the prologue. It's a tiny little paragraph. So this is Pope John Paul II saying, "We thank the Lord wholeheartedly on this day when we can offer the entire church." There's lots I can say about this. The entire church. So just know that this is for everyone. It's for the entire church. It says so. It actually says so at least five times in this introductory letter, actually. It's for the entire church. Yes, it's for the... says, "This is to my venerable brothers, the cardinals, patriarchs, archbishops, bishops, priests, deacons." And then it says, "And it's to all the people of God." Yeah. So who are all the people of God? Well, firstly, it's all the baptized. They are the people of God because they've got his very life within them. Right? And the others, he loves them in order for them to be. And all the baptized is not just all the Catholics, is it? So this is actually for every baptized person. This is the truth. This is the truth that has come to us from the apostles, from Christ. So. In a course that some of us put together and I helped with a lot, we had many Anglicans and others coming into the church when this first came out, when they studied the course to see what is it that Catholics actually believe. Many people came into the church and said, "Oh, well, that makes sense. We can offer the entire church this reference text entitled The Catechism of the Catholic Church, and this is the bit I want, for a catechesis renewed at the living sources of the faith. It's a catechism of a whole different genre than that has been written before, renewed at the living sources. Now, the living sources, what's the living source? Traditio, it's what the Holy Spirit has given us through 2,000 years, yeah? Those are the living sources. Number one, the first living source, is going to be the divinely inspired work of the Holy Spirit, the scriptures, yeah? But in the back of this, there is a list of all the citations of that the catechism is filled with, and as well as scripture, which is like masses and masses. There's so much scripture in here, by the way, that someone called this the Catholic interpretation of the Bible. it's like a Catholic commentary on scripture. So people who've said to me, you spend a lot of time with this, I prefer this. Yeah. I think, oh, now hang on a minute, this is absolutely soaked. Yeah. You cannot take the scripture out of here because there'd be nothing left. And then it goes through all these other living sources, which are the great, especially the great councils of the church. And the final thing here, again, because of the way of beauty, there are four images, four pictures, one for each of the four parts of the catechism. So the catechism goes through the way of beauty into each part. See, Christus Totus for the four dimensions. An image takes us into the four parts. The first image I'm going to show you on Friday. So I won't mention that just now. But the one for the sacraments, I'm going to say this now before, I must give you time to get across to the church. But the one on the sacraments is a very simple image of the woman with the hemorrhage being healed. Again, it's from the catacombs. You can look at an incredibly simple image. And she is touching the fringe of the cloak, yeah, of Christ. So if only I can touch his cloak, I will be healed. And the image has him turning around and blessing her, healing her, obviously. And this is what this is why it's here. Okay, the scene depicts the encounter of Jesus with the woman with the hemorrhage. This woman who had suffered for many years was healed by touching the cloak of Jesus through the power that had gone forth. Yeah? The sacraments of the church now continue the works which Christ had performed during his earthly life. The sacraments are, as it were, the powers that go forth from the body of Christ to heal the wounds of sin and to give us the new life of Christ. This image thus symbolizes the divine and saving power of the Son of God, who heals the whole man, soul and body, through the sacramental life. You see what's going on there? So there's a simple event in Christ's life. Simple. I mean, a beautiful event in Christ's life, number one. There's a very, very simple image of it, number two. Yeah. What does it mean? The powers that go forth through the sacraments of the church, right? For the healing of the whole body, which is needed for the gathering, is it not, into Christus Totus. I'm going to stop because we need to get to the gathering, which Christ, the love of Christ, is doing for us in the Abbey Church.
This audio recording is copyright 2019 by Caroline Ferry. All rights reserved.